Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and, together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is service and the soul. And before we get started, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Service is the spontaneous effect of soul contact. It's a soul urge, the outstanding characteristic of the soul. What does that mean exactly? I always thought service was something you do.
Yes, service is something you can do, but more than that, it's something that you are. I think that service in the spiritual sense is really perhaps best defined as an attitude of mind, an attitude that you hold in mind and heart that orients you so correctly that whatever you do, express, or emanate from your being serves. And we'll talk in this program about what it means to serve. But essentially, it's an orientation, I think, an orientation to life. The writings of Alice Bailey say that service and balance are today the two great expressions of divinity that are humanity's next major objective, service and balance. And she wrote that it's the trend of the coming era. And I think that's very noticeable in the world. We see more and more charities, philanthropies, NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Our particular work, the Lucis Trust, is located in a building that is set aside by the City of New York to provide tax-free space for nonprofit groups. And there are many such groups in the building with us that are oriented toward serving in a variety of ways. So service is very much a sign of the times, and yet I think the downside of it in people who don't understand it is that it might be busy, interfering kind of activity that implies that one knows best, one knows what other people need, and goes about telling them. So that's not service, it's an orientation. And I think we find that orientation in the word balance. The quotation I just mentioned, service and balance are today the two great expressions of divinity. Balance could be taken to mean not only a personal poise, but a right relationship within oneself that enables one to have a sense of one's own integrity, but also, at the same time, a sense of relationship to others, a place within the whole, and not living life as a little island in the world. That's, I think, what makes for true, correct service, a life lived in balance with the whole.
And it's also, I think, important to point out the or emphasize, rather, the in the quote there, it says, service is the spontaneous effect of soul contact. And it's the word spontaneous that is very meaningful, too, because many people may desire or follow a path of service, but how much of that service is really a spontaneous impulse? Is this act of service the first thing they think about before they think of all the other conditions that we put on ourselves and before we serve, or does it does the need that is there, does that come first? And in other words, when the response is spontaneous, then it comes directly from the soul. It's more of a true soul impulse.
Well, coming back to this attitude of a right balance and an orientation to the whole, we would see spontaneity expressed in the recent earthquake in Bam, Iran, where I was reading an article about a couple of American tourists who were badly injured in the earthquake, and the people in the area immediately rushed to dig them out without any thought of, do we want to rescue these awful Americans or not? There was no thought like that. That spontaneous service, when people simply rush to the aid of another. And it doesn't have to be something so dramatic as digging one out of a wrecked hotel room due to an earthquake, but this unthinking, because we need our minds, what we've got of it, unpremeditated, unanalytical kind of heartfelt approach to need as you see it.
Right. If many people may put a lot of conditions on the service, so mm-hmm. they will say, well, what am I going to get out of this? How much will I have to give up my time and my money and all of my energies? Do I have time for this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So there are a lot of conditions that get in the way of the spontaneity. And in the end, in that result, it isn't spontaneous and it's very calculated. And so it diminishes the true effect of service, I think.
What they don't realize when they ask questions like what's in it for me or what will I give up is that service replenishes. As you give, you receive more so that you can give still more. And there's a spiritual or esoteric symbol of the true server, which is of a man with a water pot held high overhead. And in fact, Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper to look when the Christ would return. He didn't prophesy, I don't think, exactly when, but he said he would return, and to look for the man with the water pot as a sign of his return. Esotericists know that that refers to the age of Aquarius, which is symbolized by the man holding the pot of water high overhead. And that pot symbolically never empties out. It always is able to give because it is self-replenishing in a sense. That's true service of the soul. Service, when it's done for motives of the personal separated self, leads to burnout. And we have probably all heard about burnout, where people give until they're emptied out. It isn't that they've exactly erred or done something wrong, but they've been oriented in such a way that their life is too divided. The writings of Alice Bailey would say that they are living at their extensions. They are living a life that is too... it lacks integration, you could say. They are concerned with and preoccupied by concerns that have to do with the separated personal self more than with their soul's intention, which is to give, because the soul knows itself to be one with all souls. There is no separation, no my soul and your soul. And so that's why the replenishing aspect of service comes in when you serve as a soul.
And we might point out here that there is a law of service involved here also, and that's mainly what the soul is responding to, the soul on its own level, which is essentially what every human being is this soul. And it is by following a law. It's a spiritual law that has been set in motion essentially by God, when he created this planet, this world, and we are all here to fulfill a certain service in conjunction with the plan of God.
I don't want people to think that we're saying you should serve in the sense of activity until you drop. Everybody needs rest, balance, replenishment of food through food, through relaxation, through sleep. We're not talking about that kind of over-fanatical misuse of one's time and energy. But what I'm trying to say is that when we ask ourselves, if I serve, will I run out of energy? Or if I serve, will I, my unique personal self, thereby miss out on something? When we find ourselves asking those questions, then we are denying the urge of the soul, which is to express its love, compassion, and identification with all others. But that doesn't mean that one has to just do without real legitimate needs for rest, food, and sleep, to the point where one is physically immobilized.
Mm-hmm. For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is service and the soul. Now, we mentioned in the beginning of the show about how the main inspiration for the dialogue of this show comes from the works of Amos Bailey. And the book that this dialogue primarily comes from is a book by Amos Bailey, the name of which is Serving Humanity. And we have that book for you. And if you mention, if you'd like that book, all you have to do is a little note saying that you heard it on Inner Sight. You heard the title of the book on Inner Sight, and you would like the book. And the price of it is $16. That's minus the shipping charge. Ordinarily, it would be much more for shipping. But if you mention that you heard the title of the book, Serving Humanity, on Inner Sight, we'll let go of the shipping charge. That'll be canceled, and it'll be a $16 charge. You would send the check or money order to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that would be a $16 check or money order made out to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, mention that you heard the title of the book, Serving Humanity, on Inner Sight. We also welcome your support. You've been very generous with us from time to time in the past, and your donations help to keep us on the air. We are very thankful for your support. We'd like to remain on the air, as many of you would have expressed interest in us staying with you on the radio. And all of the work of the Lucis Trust, including the radio program, and especially, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We wish we were endowed, but we're not. So if there's any wealthy benefactors out there who would like to pay for this program, we welcome that too. But we really depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like a general package of information about who we are, what the Lucis Trust is all about, and how you might become more involved in Lucis Trust, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. L-U-C-I-S is LUCIS. We were speaking about service in the soul, and it's a large book, and I would imagine for this short show you'd probably have a lot more that you'd like to say about that.
Yes. So often people think of service as something that's done by a certain portion of our population, the nurses, the teachers, the firefighters, the sanitation workers, and those are people who serve the community. They do necessary and much appreciated work. But we don't think of the bookkeeper or the clerk typist or the business owner or the stockbroker as servers. But they too can be people who live lives of service because, as we said in the opening of the program, service is really an orientation to life and an orientation toward one's relationships, a sense of identification with and communion with one's loved ones, one's friends, one's coworkers, one's community, and for those whose consciousness is really expanded, with humanity as a whole. It's that orientation that makes whatever one does, whatever one is, an act of service, an expression of service. It's an orientation. It isn't a particularly an action.
But in that action, also that orientation has an effect upon the on the person in ways that we perhaps are not aware of or would be conscious of at the time, and that is that service opens the heart. It awakens the consciousness of the heart, and this is the primary way of awakening the heart center in a human being, in yourself or in everybody else. And it's the safest way to open the heart center. And the heart, of course, is the seat of love. And so this is one of the side effects, and I think it's one of the reasons why there is a growing emphasis on service, not only in this country, but around the world, in many parts of the world today. There is this more spontaneous awakening to the needs of other people in the world, and there is a reaching out, and this is all as a result, I think, of this awakening consciousness of the heart.
I think also the fact that today people are so aware of what's happening on the other side of the world through the internet, through the mass communications media, and through the travel that so many people do. We're vividly aware of, for example, natural disasters or wars and the effect that they have on populations of people who live thousands of miles away from us and whose lives on the outer level might be wildly different than ours. And yet we can feel the need and the suffering and sometimes the joy, as when the Berlin Wall came down. We can feel what they are feeling. We can experience with them what they are experiencing through this interconnection. And I think that's fostering the sense of service, because we know more and more that we are, like it or not, interconnected. I sound like the telephone company.
Well, that's all part of it. It's that reaching out, and it's not only reaching out towards humanity and other segments of society, it's reaching down into the other kingdoms, into the vegetable kingdom and the plants and the concern for the animals and the plants and the minerals of the earth. And so it reaches down that way, and it also reaches upward as an inspiration or aspiration towards God. And there are more and more people reaching out as a way of serving God, and they're making the connection there between God and service and the planet. And that's all as an effect of the soul, the impulse of the soul that's making its impact on human consciousness.
That mention of the other kingdoms reminds me of a beautiful passage in one of the books by Alice Bailey that touches on that. She wrote that every human being who reaches the goal of light and wisdom automatically has a field of influence, and we could say of service, which extends both up and down, and which reaches both inwards to the source of light and outward into fields of darkness. And she said that when this person has attained this level of wisdom and of enlightenment, he becomes a conscious center of life-giving force without any effort. It simply radiates through him or her. And when that happens, he will stimulate, energize, and vivify to fresh efforts all lives that he contacts, whether an animal or a plant or a flower or another human being. To me, that's the most inspiring definition of the service of the soul, this capacity to stimulate the soul within another sentient being. That is probably, for me, the most inspiring definition of service, the thought of inspiring the soul within another.
And that's primarily because the keynote of the soul is that of service. That is the primary impulse that the soul gives off, and impulses of its lower reflection, as we call it, the personality life. And it is the reason why we are so strongly oriented towards service, because that keynote is very strong. We hear it. It's a silence that sounds within the consciousness of every human being that whose heart is awakening to the needs of the world.
So when we live a life of selfish self-indulgence and thinking only of our own needs and wants, we are really denying the voice of the soul, aren't we?
We're shutting it off, yes.
The service that touches the soul of another is what comes through the skilled healer, as we talked about in a recent program. That's what brings about the healing of disease on the real fundamental level of illness. The capacity of the healer to awaken or evoke the soul in the patient, because it is the patient's soul which brings about his own healing. A healer, you could say, is the match that ignites that spark within the ill person, and a teacher who reaches the soul within a student awakens his own inner teacher, because we all do have our inner teacher, our inner guide. The best teachers come into contact or are able to awaken or gain the attention of that inner enlightened being that exists within all of us. So service is kind of a transmission of energy, I guess we could say.
And we are another way of that humanity or human beings can serve the lesser kingdoms or the lower kingdoms is by giving direct guidance and proper guidance and loving guidance to for the animal kingdom, for example. I mean, many dogs, for example, that. You know, seeing eye dogs, they perform a tremendous service for the blind, and also the animals that they take into the hospitals and into the wards, and the dogs are there. Their spontaneous loving nature of some of these dogs is so attractive and so magnetic, and this is the beginnings of service in the animal kingdom.
If you'd like to explore this topic, Service and the Soul, in greater depth, you can order the book by Alice Bailey, the title of which is Serving Humanity. And if you mention on a little note that you heard the title mentioned on Inner Sight, the show Inner Sight, we'll give you a discount. The discount will come in the form of free shipping. So if you'd like to order the book, just send a $16 check or money order. Once again, that's a $16 check or money order, to Lucis Publishing Company. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that would be a $16 check. Mention that you'd like the book, you want the book Serving Humanity. Mention also a little note saying that you heard it on Inner Sight. Send it to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light look out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.